Well, thank you and good afternoon. Can I start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we gather and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging? Can I acknowledge Ministers Cameron Dick, Kate Jones, Anthony Lynham, Mark Bailey, Mick DeBrenny, Mark Ryan, Di Farmer, Craig Crawford and other members of Parliament, including our Speaker? Can I acknowledge Kyle Murphy, State Director and Company Secretary of CEDA, members of the CEDA Board, Mayors, councillors, directors general, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for being here today. The CEDA State of the State Address is a unique opportunity for me to tell you what we are doing to address the challenges our state faces as we grow into the Queensland of 2020. Since last we met, Queensland's population has grown past 5 million. Since my government was re-elected, more than 164,500 jobs have been created. The value of our exports in the 12 months to July this year was $75.3 billion, more than New South Wales and Victoria combined. Queensland will be home to the Boxer combat vehicle after our partner, Rheinmetall, won the $2 billion contract, which is the largest project in the history of the Australian Army. We've opened new schools on the Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, in Logan and in Townsville. We're spending nearly $1 billion expanding and improving hospitals in Rockhampton, Logan, Caboolture, Ipswich, Blackall, Kingaroy and Maryborough. Plus we're building new facilities in Townsville, Mareeba, Cairns and Roma. And also today I can announce $14 million will be spent upgrading even more health facilities in some of our most remote islands of our state up in the Torres Strait. We've had the eyes of the world on the Gold Coast for the most successful and inclusive Commonwealth Games ever held. And last year we won majority government. So what is next? What else do we have to do to maintain and strengthen Queensland's place in the world? Sometimes looking back where you've come from is helpful when charting the course forward. That's what the historian William Coote did in 1882 when he reflected on the growth of Queensland from the time the last convicts were sent to Moreton Bay in 1839. He wrote, "At the time when the convict rule was supposed to be nigh its end, Brisbane existed only in name. There were no streets and nothing that could, by any stretch of the imagination, be tortured into a town. Fronting the river adjoining what is now called William Street stood the modest wooden residence of the colony's commander. In its rear was a long row of old rubble buildings. As much as some things have changed, there's one thing that hasn't. There's a lot of rubble along William Street today as the Destination Brisbane Consortium digs the foundations of what will become the $3.6 billion Queen's Wharf development." In 1882, as Coote wrote, he marvelled at the changes Queensland had already seen. He talked about the challenge of harnessing the potential of a vast state where almost any crop could be grown and so many minerals could be found. He envisaged a brilliant future for Queensland. So today, as we look towards the year 2020, what does our brilliant future look like? I'd say Queensland will be undergoing our very own golden age. Let's have a look about what's happening around our state. The second parallel runway at Brisbane Airport will be operating by 2020. A new cruise ship terminal will be open. Queen's Wharf and Cross River Rail will well and truly be underway. New hotels are already emerging. The W, the Carlisle, the Western and the Dorset on the Gold Coast are expected to be open or under construction. And in other parts of the state, there'll be rolling upgrades to the Bruce Highway and M1. Queensland already boasts 4 international airports, Brisbane, Cairns, Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast. And also, Wellcamp near Toowoomba is a fantastic export hub for Queensland. We have 15 export ports. We have 180,000 kilometres of roads. We are home to one of the world's greatest treasures, the Great Barrier Reef, stretching 2,300 kilometres along our coast. And we're building 7,000 kilometres of wild dog fencing, bringing back the sheep industry to Queensland. We will also see the Gold Coast Health and Knowledge Precinct continue to grow. We will see Townsville Stadium's first game, the Cairns Performing Centre open, and the submarine broadband cable on the Sunshine Coast underway, driven by the Mayor, Mark Jamieson. Gladstone will be expanding its biofuels capacity. The Mackay Ring Road will be nearing completion. And in Rockhampton, we will open the rail line to expand the beef capital's export capacity. And that's just to name a few. Just last month, I travelled both to the Torres Strait and to Weipa. I was in Weipa and I met Ray Ahmet. He stood with me at Rio Tinto's $2.6 billion bauxite mine, and he told me that his son had just started work at the same mine. That project has brought generational jobs to the Western Cape, but it's doing so much more than that. The aluminium that's made in Gladstone from Weipa's bauxite goes into mobile phones around the world. As I told Parliament last week, we're all carrying a little bit of Queensland around in our pockets. It's a great example of turning our traditional strengths into our future competitive advantage. For as long as the world needs steel, it will look to the Bowen Basin as its preeminent supplier of metallurgical coal. Around the world, we are also recognised as the best provider of the skills and technology that supports mining services. We produce traditional minerals like zinc, nickel, and copper. We also have minerals like cobalt and vanadium that are used in wind turbines and batteries that are absolutely intrinsic to the renewable energy boom. The Northwest Minerals Province near Mount Isa may contain rare earth minerals that are key elements in developing technologies. With nations like Germany and China committing to building massive fleets of electric and autonomous vehicles, demand for these minerals is set to boom. And as Asia's middle class grows, here in Queensland, we are looking to expand the range of tourism opportunities that Queensland can deliver. We are the closest Western country to Asia, which is home to two-thirds of the world's population. Since we came to office, we have seen international carriers put an additional 2 million seats into airports from Cairns to the Gold Coast. Qantas has so much faith in Queensland as a destination, it has based four of its Dreamliners here that will fly to the US and create 350 jobs. Another sector that is close to my heart, delivering long-term secure jobs, is the screen industry, truly bringing a little bit of Hollywood to the Gold Coast. Everything from Thor to Dora the Explorer to ABC's Harrow and Netflix's Tidelands. And our screen industry now provides a constant stream of work for thousands of people, generating billions of dollars. We've enhanced this by a recent $12 million investment in new studios in Brisbane. These facilities are ideally suited for screen and stream. However, we know parts of Queensland are really doing it tough, facing their sixth year of drought. On that subject, can I urge you to think about buying a ticket to our Queensland Parliament Drought Appeal reception next Thursday. But innovation in agriculture opens up a world of opportunities. Robotics and automation are making farms more efficient. We are engineering new variants of crop that are resistant to Queensland's climate. and we're assisting farmers to adapt their practices to deal with the reality of climate change. Cementing Queensland's place as an outward-facing, export-orientated state has been one of my government's key focuses. With Brexit and the possibility of a US-China trade war, we face an uncertain world. That's why we must continue to diversify the markets we sell to. Queensland's position as Australia's energy powerhouse remains unchallenged. We have the country's youngest and most efficient fleet of coal-fired generators. We have a pipeline of renewable projects that will generate over 20% of our energy needs by the end of next year. We're also the only state in the national energy market opening up gas reserves for domestic energy production. With 90% of the proven gas reserves on the East Coast, we are helping to keep the lights on in Sydney and in Melbourne. And unlike the federal government, we have a clearly defined energy plan here in Queensland. And it's bringing certainty for investors. It's lowering prices for Queensland families and Queensland businesses. We have $5 billion in committed renewable investment. $1.1 billion is already constructed and operating, and $20 billion is in the pipeline. Last month, I was able to officially open one of the largest solar farms in Queensland, constructed by Sun Metals Zinc. That $200 million facility is made up of 1.3 million panels and will meet up to one-third of that company's energy needs. And we're progressing our biofuel industry towards reality by securing big customers necessary to make it commercially viable to our state. Yesterday, I joined executives from Virgin to announce that biofuel will be blended into their fuel stock at Brisbane Airport for domestic flights. And in Townsville, my government has provided more than $3 million for a feasibility study into a possible $2 billion battery factory. Friends, another new industry is hydrogen. Hydrogen has long been seen as a potential energy source, but one that so far has proved difficult to produce and transport commercially. Now, concerted effort is underway to overcome these challenges. Japan, our second largest trading partner, is looking to Queensland for its future energy needs. Japan has launched an ambitious program to be able to demonstrate a hydrogen-powered vessels by the time of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. As part of this plan, QUT is working with Japan Sumitomo Corporation and the University of Tokyo to develop specialised solar panels on a site in the Redlands. Pilot sites for production have already been identified in Gladstone. We are talking about the potential to capture Queensland sunshine, store it, and then transport it to Japan as a source of renewable energy. And today I'm releasing a hydrogen discussion paper to receive your input on how we can advance this new and emerging industry in Queensland. But we need to ensure that the skilled jobs are definitely created here. When Holden and Toyota pulled out of Melbourne and Adelaide last year, many people saw that as the end of the automotive industry in Australia. Queensland is now the largest vehicle manufacturer in Australia. As manufacturing jobs decline in other states, they are growing here in Queensland. Just last month, I opened Volvo's new $30 million national headquarters at Wacol. The new facility can produce 67 tailored heavy-duty trucks each and every week. Both Volvo and Rheinmetall are in the corridor that stretches from Ipswich to Brisbane. The reward it provides is a long-term industry that needs the support of many specialised small and medium businesses as suppliers and a highly skilled workforce. Queensland's reputation in the defence industry grows every day. More than 100 companies are looking to become part of that defence industry supply chain. And we are also backing Rheinmetall in the $15 billion Phase 3 of Land 400. If Enoggera is the army end of the corridor of defence industries, Amberley is at the Air Force end. Through Advanced Queensland, we have secured a deal with Boeing to become home to the company's largest autonomous systems program outside the US. Drones have the potential to conduct search and rescue missions after natural disasters. Once again, Boeing will be working with a number of local partners as their suppliers, providing a constant demand for engineers and technicians. But how do we capitalise on these new opportunities? Drone applications are now taught in Queensland schools. Many of these new industries will build upon our traditional strengths, but all of them require new skills for our existing workforce and for children who are only just entering school. The skills needed for almost any job are different today from what they were 40 years ago. That is the constant ability to learn and to relearn. We must provide those training opportunities for Queenslanders throughout their working life. From prep onwards, education should prepare us for life and the opportunities it presents. And that's why I firmly believe STEM skills, and particularly coding and robotics, is so important for Queensland's future. To be able to go into a school in Queensland, whether it's Tierry in central Queensland or Tagai up in Thursday Island or the newly opened Baringa School on the Sunshine Coast, it's amazing to see children from prep onwards in Queensland learning coding. I first had the chance to see robotics up close at SoftBank in Japan. SoftBank is now in discussions with Japan's education department about how to follow our lead. It's estimated that 90% of future jobs will require higher education at either university or TAFE. That's why last week we announced that every student finishing high school in Queensland this year and the next will be able to enrol in TAFE for free. If we don't have the skills that industries need for these jobs, they will simply look overseas. Business has called for this, and we have listened. That is why later this year I will convene a skills summit of some of the biggest companies in Queensland's traditional and emerging industries. This is to ensure we are able to provide the necessary skills for the workforce that we need in the future. And even just last night, a gentleman, Chris, approached me at a dinner and said, "Anastasia, I need 20 apprentices. Where am I going to get them from? Help me." And that's exactly what we're going to do. It's essential that the future jobs are linked to what is happening in our education system. It's linked to what's happening in our schools, our TAFEs, our training centres, and of course, our universities. And this is something where industry, government, universities, the skills training sector, and unions must all come and work with government together. Just as we are envisaging a classroom of the future, what does a future hospital ward look like? That question is being addressed right now in Queensland by people like QUT's Professor Mia Woodroffe at the New Hurston Precinct. The Institute is working out how to take tailored healthcare solutions to a place that they have never been before. Scanning, modelling, and printing replacement body parts, not just bones and joints, but patient-specific skin and cartilage. In the United States, they are already factories generating thousands of these individualized 3D implants. Some of that work will be done by robotics, but the opportunities will come to combine the disciplines of engineering and healthcare into a degree or training that does not even exist today. Yet the foundations for these skills lie in one of Queensland's existing strengths, the medical devices industry. Some people in their early 20s form rock bands in their parents' garage. In his parents' garage, Daniel Timms came up with the idea for an artificial heart. Daniel was one of the original recipients of Smart State funding under the Smart State program. Today, the company Daniel founded, Bivacor, is at the leading edge of a global technological evolution, building hearts that can grow within their host. And I know this because every time I see him, he shows me on his phone. Bivacor was also an early recipient of funding through one of our Advanced Queensland initiatives. Advanced Queensland is a suite of programs in which we are now investing over $650 million to identify and nurture the industries that will provide those future jobs. Advanced Queensland is also supporting work being done by the TRI at Woolloongabba and working with Siemens Healthcare and the Draper Labs in Boston. They are developing new applications for magnetic resonance that can be used to detect conditions ranging from PTSD to breast cancer. If we are going to capitalise on medical devices industry here in Queensland, we must support a centre of excellence for medical devices, just as we have supported a centre of excellence for Rheinmetall. Connecting those ideas with the capital that can turn them into a reality is one of the underpinning philosophies of our deliberate decision to attract more startups to Queensland. And it's working. We have overtaken Victoria to be second only to New South Wales among startups. One of the focuses of the precinct startup hub in Fortitude Valley is artificial intelligence. At the National Governors Convention that I attended in the US earlier this year, a senior executive from a major multinational company made a remark that has stuck with me, and I hope it will stick with everyone here today. In the future, there will be two key areas that governments and industry need to focus on: artificial intelligence and blockchain technology. AI has turned a significant corner in its development with the recent expansion of cloud computing. As algorithms improve and processing speeds increase, whole new worlds of possibility are opening up. In Queensland, artificial intelligence is starting to be used by the QMIR to analyse the genes of cancer patients to help doctors to develop more effective, targeted, personalised treatments. Boeing is already working in Queensland in partnership with local companies on technology to remotely pilot drones with sensors, which could be used to quickly and safely transport goods. Queensland is also leading the way when it comes to the utilisation of blockchain technology. Blockchain provides a new type of database that stores contracts and transactions across different computers with an encryption that has yet to be broken. In December last year, the Commonwealth Bank and QTC developed the first proof of concept for blockchain bond to improve transparency and transaction speeds. The opportunities from blockchain go far beyond cryptocurrencies and financial markets. Leanne Kemp started a global startup from Brisbane and is now based in London. Her company, Everledger, now securely tracks the location of more than 1 million diamonds globally. She has just won an international 2018 Advance Award for technology innovation. Batteries are her next target for a blockchain tracing system to look at how the minerals such as cobalt and lithium can be recycled and reused. And at the Port of Brisbane is working in partnership with PwC on a national trade community system to improve efficiency and service innovations with a potential value of $1 billion. Other blockchain opportunities under development in Queensland include improvements to efficiencies in the supply chain in the beef industry by allowing for smart contracts to be executed instantly from the paddock all the way to the plate. Friends, during last year's election, I asked Queenslanders to re-elect us so we could continue to deliver good, decent, stable government. I understand how important that certainty and stability is for business. So is a sense of future direction, a clear plan for delivering on what we say we will do. I hope today, and there's a lot to take in, I hope today I've given you a sense of where my government sees these enormous opportunities for Queensland, where we're investing and where I'd encourage you to think about investing as well. Because here on Asia's doorstep, with the best resources ideas, not just in Australia but around the world, I can truly say Queensland's best days are definitely ahead of us. Thank you.